we'd like to. We're looking into it. But we're also not living in Tornado Alley in Oklahoma where they get those, like, those, you know, about as often as we get thunderstorms. But, boy, you're talking about somebody who was thankful his family survived because he chose to build that. He was able to financially, and he chose to build on solid foundation, build that thing. That's the same way you will feel about your own choices if you will now serve the Lord, now build your foundation on the Word of God, now become a real strong Christian, full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then when those times come and you can stand,
right,
and you'll see people dropping all around you. So it's not just for you. You'll have to pick other people up. You'll be so thankful if you do it. Build on a foundation of rock. Now, what is this rock? What do you mean? Are you just talking? Well, let's look at it scripture with scripture. We already sang about it. Go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. I'm going to show you that you can't understand your New Testament if you don't read your Old Testament.
Amen.
Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6. And there are little kids in Sunday school classes and things where they'll learn this and not even be told the full picture. But I remember learning the full picture even when back before I was a Christian. I learned it in some of the Sunday school lessons. And I had a cartoon I showed the girls when they were little that taught this. Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6, if you dare read it with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now that, I mean, that's neat. You know, the idea of Moses smiting the rock and water coming out. How cool is that? I mean, if you're ever really, really thirsty and there's no water around, nothing but rocks, just the idea, you go, don't worry about this, I got it. Out comes water. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Maybe we'll be able to do that during the millennium. Wouldn't that be cool? Just walking around in the desert. You know, I'm getting kind of thirsty. See, you won't get thirsty. Well, let's just go with it. I just want a drink of water. Smack! Out comes the water. Up from the bubbling, you know. But there's more to it than that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, right the very first verse. But 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. What's the cure for that?
Studying.
Read your Bible. And study to show thyself approved. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, how do you know what he's talking about? Read the Old Testament. See? Now, verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that's talking about the Red Sea parting and all that. And in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. How many of you remember the story of manna?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's more to it than just feeding hungry Jews. There's a spiritual lesson there. And now read verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, did you see back there? I should have told you to hold your place there. But did you see back there in Exodus 17, verse 5, where he was given the instructions there? Or verse 6. Did you notice what he said there in verse 6? You might have noticed he told him the water would come out of the rock and all that. But look what he says. Behold, I, this is the Lord, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb.
Yeah, amen.
Now, I'm not sure if all the people saw that or not. I'm not sure. I can't tell from the text, but I know Moses, I believe, saw him. Think of that. He walks up to smite the rock, and there's Jesus standing on top of the rock. And he's like, bam! It happened several times in the Old Testament. You remember Elisha is getting ready to fight with the army of Israel, and they're outnumbered, except they're not. And he tells his water boy, there's more with us than are them. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? I can count. And he says, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And then he saw they're surrounded with angelic warriors. What a thing. Oh, man. Well, I think that's similar to what happened here. Moses goes to smite the rock, and who is standing there on that rock? Jesus. Reminds me of the empty tomb. When they went there, the angel rolled the stone back so everyone else could look in. And then he sat on it. God's cool. I mean, you know, he don't just do things. He does it in style. I just love that stuff. But you gotta read it carefully or you miss it. I did many, many times. I read that many, many times before I saw that. So the church is built upon the rock of the truth of exactly who Jesus is.
Amen.
Jesus is the rock.
Amen.
And it's the truth of who Jesus is upon which the church is built. And that's why the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
By the way, that's why we know we're not here during the Great Tribulation, because the Antichrist will wear out the saints. He'll kill them and overcome the saints, the text says.
Yep.
That wouldn't happen if the church was still here. That's one of the proofs of the pre-trib rapture, why we know we're not going to be here. Look over at Mark 16. Mark 16:15.
Where are
they for, Pat? It's the reference to, on this rock, I will build my church.
Matthew 16?
Oh, I got the wrong book. Matthew 16:15. Matthew 16:15-19. The question is, who is Jesus? And they, verse 14 says, and some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, one of the prophets. So Jesus asks, says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Of course, we tell you all the time, that's what matters. You can't be saved by a Jesus who's not the biblical Jesus. You talk to people in cults, and they'll say, oh yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Then you ask them, well, what Jesus? And it'll be some created Jesus. The Mormon Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. The Watchtower Jehovah's Witness Jesus is Michael the Archangel, who became Jesus for a while and now is Michael again.
Oh.
Nonsense. You have to believe on the biblical Jesus, who is, according to John 1, is the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He's God. He's Creator. And he's asking his closest disciples, the apostles, but whom say ye that I am? In verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, read that with me. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as a Jew, That's a heavy load right there. To call him the Christ. If they know their Bible, they know that Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." So it's a heavy thing. That's why they take out and stone you if you claim to be the Messiah. And the first time you messed up, you're done. Because it's blasphemy. The Son of the Living God. That's with the common sense, reasonable idea that God begat God. If God has a Son, His Son is God. We're by adoption. Angels are created. Only one is the Son of the Living God. Because only one is eternal God with the Father, His Son Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of the Trinity. And then verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now he's talking about it. When you continue reading, Jesus is speaking and referring to it. What is it? He says, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." What? What was just said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. God has revealed that to you, he says. And then says in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, comma, and upon this rock," what rock? It. It, the confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God, and all that that entails. That is what he says, "I will build my church." That's why later Paul will talk about the church is laid upon the foundation. Who is Jesus Christ? And upon no other foundation can a man build. And he says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And that's not talking about the charismatic thing, right? "I bind you in the name of Jesus." Has nothing to do with verbally saying, "I bind something." It's, yeah.
That's where the Catholics messed up when they think that Peter,
you know,
is the rock.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's the first one.
Oh, and the Catholics are wrong, but so are the Protestants. You'll go see Calvin. He taught wrong on that and a bunch of them. But the point, one way to know the truth, know the counterfeit, is to know the truth.
Amen.
So you know this truth, what we just said, and now you know anything else you hear is wrong. So you'll see this rock being the person of Jesus Christ, believing in the true Jesus, who he is. That is the rock.
Amen.
And you'll see it scattered all over the Bible. Psalm 18:31 says, "For who is God save the Lord?" See, if you call Jesus Lord, look what you're doing. Amen. "For who is God save the Lord?" Or who is a rock? Save our God.
Amen.
If you don't believe Jesus is that rock, then you must throw out your New Testament because it constantly refers to Jesus as the rock.
Amen.
Psalm 18:46, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Some of you may have not known that, but we got that song from the Bible.
Amen.
It's a song. "Blessed be my rock." Yeah, I think the original version of that song used the new version and said, "Blessed be the rock." Well, he is the rock, but you know what? This verse is right. It's personal. My rock. He better be your rock. Not just the rock. You better make him yours.
Amen.
You remember singing that? Yeah, because you sang it with me. How about this? You remember singing this?
Amen.
Jesus is the rock of my salvation, His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation, His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation, His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Evidently, you've never heard that.
Yeah, that was an old one.
Yeah, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Of course, it again, it's Scripture. It's combining what you just read in Psalm 18:46 with this in Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house. That's prophetically speaking of the marriage supper.
Mm-hmm.
And His banner over me was love.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus ends His message. I have to bring you back to the real world.
Oh, no.
He's going to end on a negative note.
Jesus.
And it's just a shame Jesus wasn't more aware of the power of positive thinking. If maybe if he had read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, they wouldn't have killed him. Amen? That's the point. That that's not the point. That wasn't the point of his coming. It's not the point of your life. So we're in verse 49, which begins by saying, "But he that heareth and doeth not." Hearing and doing nothing makes you no better than the atheist. I don't know what, you know, you do when you go home. But if you come in here and listen to the Bible being taught, and then you decide whether or not you're going to follow it. You see, that's not really, the attitude is, come in and hear the Bible taught and follow it.
Amen.
You say, I'm going to get that preacher. Don't blame me. I didn't write the book. That preacher. I didn't like the shirt he had on today, so I'm not going to pay attention to it. Well, I don't care. I like my shirt.
Amen.
Says that fat people wear this and makes us look skinny. What do you call that? Is that pinstripes? Pinstripes?
Vertical stripes.
Vertical stripes. Yes. So, he that heareth and doeth not, bottom line is rejecting the gospel or rejecting the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. Those who reject the gospel are going to hell. Mm-hmm. And Christians, you may be saved, but if you reject the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, you'll make your life hell in this life. You'll make shipwreck. And that's worse than you might think. Once you experience it, you know what I mean. Hopefully you don't ever experience it. It continues and says, "It's like a man that without a foundation build an house upon the earth." In other words, you didn't dig deep and put a foundation. Martha, what kind of house would that have been? What kind of problems would you have had?
Oh, my.
In places where, in times before they had building code, you know?
Yep.
And in areas of this country, you can still see houses that were built before there was any building codes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling this might have been... Because everything leans this way. We come in here every time. I have to pull the rugs back and everything. And this equipment up here, the sound thing and stuff moves. Every week, Sunday or Wednesday, I'm moving stuff back. I just gave up. That's why you might be wondering why those throw rugs are off center. I got tired of moving them. Every time I move them in the center, within a week or two, I'd come back in. It's moved all the way back over like that. What happened, more than likely, is that it settled a little in the foundation.
Or it's gremlins.
Yeah.
Some gremlins.
And there are houses all over. Ginny and I went to look at a house that was built on a slab. And I walked in there, and there was a crack. And it was just a little bit off. And I can't remember, the realtor showed us that. We might have gone to one of those places where we had a code and got in. It might have just been the two of us. I just been saying, well, I'm done looking here.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't care what else you see there. You don't want to buy a house like that. Yeah, Sean?
A long time ago, I stayed at this really unique Swiss hotel up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And this thing was built back in 1853.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. My 10 by 12 hotel room was 6 inches higher on one end and the window.
Wow.
In the middle, is lower. And I felt like a drunk guy walking.
Yeah. That, I've never seen one that bad.
Yeah, that was extreme.
Well, those buildings you can envision if you haven't seen it. You can just envision it. You can look it up on the internet. That's your life if you don't build on the foundation of the gospel and the word of God.
Amen.
And that truth is recognized in our building codes I just referred to. It's the reason why there are building codes. It's for the safety of anyone who might walk into that building you built. Anyone who might live there or do business there or whatever. They want to make sure it's not going to come tumbling down. Folks, there have been places. There was one just a few weeks ago. Somebody was taking video for some reason, and all of a sudden they heard this noise, and they turned the camera around, and a building just came down.
Wow.
And he says, because there's a problem with the foundation, and after years and years and years of the foundation giving way, it just collapsed. It was a brick building. Thankfully, no one was in there. They would have been killed. If your life is built on anything other than the gospel and God's word, you stand right now on sand. It's a matter of time and circumstance before you are going to come down like that brick building. And that's why Jesus describes it, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. How many of you have seen people completely implode in their lives, and the ruin is great? It's a disaster. This is a picture. This is a case of your business. That happens every year.
Oh, God. Yeah. And now it's floating down the river. That's a houseboat. Oh, now it's destroying another house along the way.
And they want to live there?
And as you look at that, you understand if you do not build your life on the gospel of Jesus Christ and upon His Word, that's your life you're looking at. That's where you're going to end up. And I've known Christians over the years who just think they're the exception. Not me. I can get by without really studying and learning the Word and applying what I learned in my life. I can just go through the motions, not really have a prayer life. Except for a church, you know, I'll pray at church, but too busy. Nah. Always putting other things in front of Bible study and prayer. Yeah, you got your fire insurance.
Like me.
Fire insurance ain't going to help the homeowner. And that's your homeowner's insurance as a Christian, is to build upon the foundation of the Word of God. The musicians come forward, and we're going to sing about the solid rock. 272. And as they come, I want to ask you the closing thought. Are you on the rock, who is Jesus? Of course, that's the first. That means, are you saved? If you're not saved, you've never been born again, you're not on the rock. Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, paying the full price for sin, was buried, but rose again the third day, conquering sin and death. You are saved by the works of Jesus Christ, not your own works. And you must trust fully and completely on what He has done, repenting of whatever it is you believed up to this point, repenting of your sin, repenting of what you are, and turning to God, trusting in that gospel for eternal salvation. If you haven't done that yet, then you remain unsaved.
Amen.
There's no better time than the present. Right now, you can be saved. It's that simple. God made it so simple. But people love the complicated. And if you are on the rock, then good, but maybe you're saved, but now building your life, you're on the sound of your sand of what I call self/opinion. Ask yourself, self, how do I, what am I basing my choices on? What am I basing my daily life on? Am I daily in your word? Am I daily in prayer? And if not, you're building on your own self instead of the rock. And when you ask whether something's right or wrong, do you immediately think, what do I think? To me, I think, or do you say, what does God's word say on that? And if you don't know, you open a Bible. And if you can't find it, you talk to people who know their Bible. And you find out if that's, you're building on solid rock if that's how you're living your life. But if you just always, well, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, I was always taught. I read a book one time that said, no, that's the wrong answer. Wrong, 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 wrong. That's our challenge to you today. As you sing, page 272, if you would, stand if you can. Stand if you like to. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.